One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Ryan. With me is Dave Callens. Dave, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Bobby!
Woo!
Bad shirt, no style.
No, I'm wearing a science faction shirt. I'm doing great. I had an excellent show this week at Nerd Night. Fucking killed it. Love that audience. Come on out to Nerd Night first Tuesday of every month at 32 North Brewing at 6:30. Really, really fun show, but you got to get there early because we packed all the seats and we became standing room only.
Did you say True North?
No, 32 North.
Oh, 32. Oh, I was going to say, True North is like a bro bar. I can't imagine nerds hanging out at a bro bar.
No, not at all.
You guys all get picked on all night.
Yeah, that. And then Ryan and I went out last night and had a blast, like a family and family night, and went out to like Old Town La Mesa with my kid and our wives. It was really fun.
Went to a Scottish place. By the way, Bobby, I wanted to ask you something about this. Your thoughts on bringing a baby out to dinner. Now, obviously, every time
we did it last night.
Bobby's okay with bringing a baby to another country across the ocean.
That's true, so, on an airplane.
Yeah, Bruce is a good boy, but...
Sometimes.
But if he were to start screaming and throwing a temper tantrum, what would your reaction be?
This does not have to be a hypothetical. This has happened so many times.
So what do you do?
Time out. I just want to say, because I don't have a kid, I'm just going to throw my best guess out there.
Okay,
I think what you're supposed to do is throw a bigger tantrum. Out tantrum the kids. Show them you're the alpha.
Yeah, either that or a rear naked choke. So the thing about kids screaming, and you realize this when you become a parent, is there are two modes. One is like, I'm pissed about something in this second, and I'm going to scream, which my kid does a bunch. And you can kind of calm them down real quick, and then they're fine again. Like, it's just like a blip. It's 3 seconds, and you have to try and address it.
Oh, what a 3 seconds.
Yeah, dude. And I'll tell you this. My son screams like nothing I've ever heard
It's pretty
before.
Shrill.
Yeah, it's crazy. But then there's the other form, which is I'm in the middle of a full-on tantrum, and then you got to pick them up and take them out. Like, that's your only option. You got to grab them, and you got to pretend like you're a fucking running back in the NFL. You put a hand out like you're the Heisman Trophy. Push everybody out of the way. You're like, I'm sorry, I got to get them out. Get them out to where wherever you're not disturbing people. That's my thing, is always like, I don't want to bother anybody else. This is somebody else's Friday night. They have waited all week to take their wife or their girlfriend out to dinner. Like, it's not my place to sit there and be like, oh, 150 people in this eating establishment? Sorry, I'm ruining your night tonight.
Right, and you know what? The thing is, this is what's so weird to me about this, is second only to maybe guns and who you voted for, this is a subject, bringing a little baby out to dinner, that is a trigger subject for some people. If you want some mothers melting down on you on Facebook, just do this. Go on your
Who
Facebook
doesn't want that?
And just post, there's a family here at this restaurant with a screaming kid. You will get no less than 42. Hey, I'll have you know that I deserve a social life. I am a new mother, and you have no idea how hard it is. Like, it's like, we'll just take them outside. No, I will not.
Yeah, no, first of all,
tell me what to do.
Again, I'm the primary caretaker of my kids, so I'm in that position. No, you don't deserve a social life. Go fuck yourself. You're a parent now. You have volunteered to give that up for this particular thing in this part of your life.
Right. So that brings me to my next story. Is last weekend, me and Aaron went out. Aaron and I.
Ah, there you go.
We went out for dinner and a movie. All right. So we stop into this restaurant next to the theater. We sit down.
Black Angus?
Oh, I wish, man. There's no theater near there because it's in a class by itself. So anyways, we sit down, and about 15 minutes later, they see the family directly next to us, and this kid, who's probably 3, is having a stage 5 fucking meltdown. And they are doing the move where they're just like, we're going to tune her out. Let's all just have a nice dinner.
That's I was going to ask. Ryan, you and I have a unique experience here where we get – Bobby's our social experiment right now. We can watch as this progresses. We can see if he gets to the stage – where he just tunes the kid out.
Well, okay, so
we've all seen parents that have done that. Like, they just ignore the kid.
So
now it's everyone's problem.
But they think it's a solution too. They're like, you know, your kid's screaming. Like, oh, it's okay. I tune him out now. I've learned to do that. That helps everybody.
So let's start from a standpoint of that's actually what you are supposed to do when you're at home, right? So the idea is you don't acknowledge the tantrum, and then the kid doesn't think that it makes any effect, and then therefore...
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's a valid psychological parenting technique. It is what you should do at your house. you are not in your house, yeah. right? There are other people dealing with this. It's the same thing about how you do cry it out, right? So the kid's crying in the middle of the night. You get to a certain age where you're supposed to ignore them. And it's really hard for a lot of moms to listen to the kid cry, but you're supposed to, and that teaches them to cry through the night. It's better for them in the end because they get to good night's sleep and then they stop crying in the middle of the night, right? However, you don't choose to do that on a camp out when you're with a bunch of other people.
Hey,
then you go take care of the
They deserve a night
kid.
Out. They deserve a social life just like
So, like, you have to be able to distinguish between, like, okay, when we're at home and the kid throws a temper tantrum, we're all going to ignore it. That's what's best for him. Then he'll learn that he's not supposed to do this and it doesn't give an effect. As opposed to we're at a restaurant, he throws the tantrum, you pick that kid up, pull the Heisman move, get him outside. If possible, put him in a trash can, close the lid.
We'll see. We'll see. Over the next few years, Ryan, we'll see.
So, anyways, this kid is relentless, okay? Relentless. And it's getting to the point where I'm like, I'm sorry, he wins. I summon the waiter. I'm like, hey, man, just very quietly. And by the way, I'm not shooting this family dirty looks. I'm not giving them any of the, like, hey, could you?
Yeah.
I mean, I probably was well within my rights to do that, but I did not. I just quietly said to the waiter, that's giving me a headache. Could you maybe possibly move us to a table away from this person? He's like, well, yeah, but I have to keep you in my section. I'm like, that's great. You're a great waiter. I'm down for that. Move me anywhere else in this little section aside from the next to this fucking kid. And he's like, no problemo. So we get up and move. We don't even have our dinner yet. So the family, they know what's up. And they start giving us the oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, your majesty.
You think you're better than me?
Do they expect you to want to hear the kids scream?
Right.
Like, what's the expectation
right,
there?
That's why I got mad. Shot them looks back like, hey, man, I wasn't here talking shit.
Right.
I just don't want to hear your fucking kid that you're choosing to not acknowledge throughout the course of my dinner. I'm not trying to drop money on a meal to hear your kid scream. So,
right.
Anyway. We move, and now they're really, really glaring at us. Like, it's getting more intense, and I don't understand why. And that's when I realize it. The family that we moved next to also has a baby. The only difference is the family we moved next to is white, and the family we moved away from was black. So now we just look wildly racist because there's also a baby here.
Oh, that's
no
great.
One's putting it together. This baby's not screaming, and this one is. This whole family are shaking their heads, and like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah,
there's,
now you can't run for political office ever again.
I can't walk up to them and be like, hi, guys, I just want to let you know, I'm not racist. Your kid just sucks.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? So, like, I just had to, like, look. Every time I looked up, they were glaring over in our direction because I know how it looks, and it totally looked like that.
It'd be funny if, like, Ryan gets super self-conscious about it and starts loudly proclaiming to Aaron, hey, maybe we should use this time to call up one of our many black friends.
You know who I miss? Obama.
Cosby was innocent.
So was OJ.
just go right through them. But anyway, that was very, very, very embarrassing.
There is a weird thing that I found that you can divide people along a lot of different lines, but one of the most poignant lines that I have found as I've become an adult to divide people are the conscientious versus the non-conscientious.
Yeah.
You can divide people on nutty or non-nutty, men, women, anything. But really, when you get down to it, especially recently as I've gotten older, the idea of somebody who cares whether or not they're bothering somebody or somebody who just does not have that part of their brain.
Yeah.
We've all met a lot of people. My wife kind of doesn't have that part of her brain. Like, she doesn't always, like, care if she's or notice if she's bothering people. And I'm like, hun, there's like five people here. We're clearly taking too long in a line or something like that. And I have to kind of, like, move her along. It's one of those things where I realize, I don't know if it's you're born with it or if it gets, like, put into you by your parents when you are a young child.
Yeah.
But the differentiation, and you can tell it based on being in the self-checkout line at the grocery store. You know, the guy who's, like, treating it like a NASCAR pit stop as opposed to the person who's, like, checks two things and then goes, you know, I think I forgot the eggs. Hey, Bill, can you go get the eggs while we sit here and wait and just jam up this line?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There are two different mindsets, and you either are one of those people or one of the other people, and you can't switch back and forth.
Yeah.
You are one of those people.
Dude, my sister and I are a great study in that because she is like no filter, doesn't give a fuck, whatever. If you're in a way, she'll let you know.
Yeah.
Whereas I am like, I don't know why, but I grew up with like much, much lower self-esteem where I'm like always worried that I'm bothering someone all the time.
You know, it's the reason I can't go to the movies anymore. And you know what? Going to the movies.
Well, that and the drinking incident.
Also, I punched a black baby.
Hey, I punted. You misunderstood me. I punted the baby. I didn't want to hurt it. I wanted it out of my vicinity as soon as possible. No, so going to the movie theater used to be my favorite thing in the world. Just the smell of the popcorn, the carpet, the cheap video games in the lobby, everything about it viscerally was pleasing.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah. And I'm the kind of guy that will go to the movies alone and just have a ball.
Sure.
I'll get a big popcorn for myself. I'll sit in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great. No one knows where I am right now, but I'm also safe.
Yeah.
You know, but before.
Yeah, talk to the Aurora people.
I was going
to
say, I used to feel safe in there. No longer. Now,
I guess
now,
if you're in the back row, though, there's nobody behind you. That's
yeah, I can use this black family as a shield. So anyways, but it's no longer the case. I could probably see a comedy in a theater, but when I want to go see a horror movie that depends on like tension and things like that.
Oh yeah.
I just went to go see the movie Us in theaters, and it was fucking ruined because right near me.
Because it was about black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were all at Black Eggs with their baby. So anyways.
We got to call this the alt-right episode of the Degenerates.
Yeah.
Bobby, fix it in post.
Yeah, let's just stop now and start over.
It'd be funny if my entire fixing was just replacing the word black with the word Mexican. Like, this is a little fine.
Anyways, well, we're going there because I went to go see Us same night that we as the baby incident. So yeah. Really on edge at this point. But anyway, couldn't enjoy it because about one row back, big cholo motherfucking guy just like talking throughout the whole thing, narrating it. At one point, the dude literally, I don't know if he was drunk or what, announced the baseball score to the theater. All of a sudden, like as we're watching, all of a sudden he's like, Padres 4, Tigers 8. I'm like, and so I turn, I look, and I assess the situation.
Yeah.
Fucking tribal tattoo around a San Diego Padres logo, shorts down to his fucking ankles, the t-shirt of a drawing of a naked girl in a thong holding a gun with a bandana over her face, that guy.
Wow.
All right? So it's that guy. I assess it. I'm like, all right, I have two options right here. I can tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
Which will likely escalate.
Which will likely escalate.
Ironically, it's just going to cause more noise. Like, there's right. situations where you tell someone to shut up, and it actually helps the situation. There's situations where you call somebody to shut up, and at best, you're going to get a lot of yelling. At worst, some gunshot noises.
Right. I assess the situation and realize I have a choice between letting this guy's talking ruin this movie or letting a fist fight between me and him ruin this movie. Either way, me enjoying this movie is not an option anymore.
Yeah.
It's not, because I'm in here with John Q. Public, and this is not an isolated incident. Something like this happens every fucking time I go.
And your only really course of action, if you want to do it, is to, like, go grab somebody, like an usher or something. But that is not inconspicuous. You are the only person who got up, walked out, and then came back in with one of those guys with the red-tinted flashlight following
right,
you.
Right,
yeah,
right,
but
exactly.
Also, that guy's making minimum wage. He's going to stand there for 5 seconds, not hear anything, and then leave, you know?
Also, that kid's like 17 years old. He's going to go, sir, you're not talking to you. Fuck you, Whitey. He's like, okay, then. Yeah, go fuck yourself immediately. That's the problem I have.
That is the ultimate example of the person who doesn't give a fuck about bothering anybody else.
Right.
They're not even not giving a fuck. They're actively trying to bother other people.
Yeah, he just, the whole movie, like during a tense part, I'd shoot him in the face. If that was me, y'all, I'd shoot him. I'd fucking bust a cap in their ass.
Is he with anybody?
Yes, his girlfriend. That's why I know it will escalate, because there's no way
he's telling him
be quiet in front of his woman, and he's not going to fucking try and be an ape about it.
Yeah, that's such a shitty position to be in, too, because it's a lose-lose. Let's say, best case scenario, you turn around and you're like, excuse me, could you please be quiet? And he does. Let's say this is a 1 in a million shot, and he does. You spend the rest of the movie going, am I going to get kicked in the back of the head at some point?
Yeah. Yeah, and then he does, but then he's like staring at me in the back of my head, so the whole time.
There's no way to now enjoy that movie, no matter. Your only chance is literally to walk out of the movie and be like, can I have my money back? Because I can't see this now at this point.
Right. You know, and maybe that's the move I should have pulled. Anyway, Dave, I was going through my closet this morning to grab a shirt to come in, and I ran across one you made me. A long time ago, Dave used to have this affinity for making shirts with bleach. He'd take a stencil and burn in a logo. They were really cool. It was one of my favorite shirts. The problem was the logo was The Punisher, which did not age well
since he started doing
those.
Because I made a few of those. I had one for myself that I fucking loved. But this was before Netflix made the series.
Okay.
So he was still like a fringe character. Like, not many people knew who he was. You'd see occasional pickup trucks with a Punisher on it, but not nearly like you see now.
No, no.
Like, now, I might as well have given you a Tasmanian Devil t-shirt for how badly
hey,
that
how about
is.
Calvin peeing on something?
Oh, my God,
No, no, no. You might as well have given me a Blue Lives Matter t-shirt, because that is the guy that has taken that fucking symbol.
Yeah, I always liked the Punisher. Not necessarily wasn't a huge fan of the comic, read a few of them. I liked the Punisher because he was one of the only superheroes who really rocked the van well, right? It was it was him and Mr. T. I love Vans. I fucking love Vans. It was him and Mr. T who could rock the van.
Are you counting Mr. T as a superhero right now?
Yeah, I'm counting Mr. Did you not watch the A-Team?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I watched the A-Team. I grew up on the A-Team. Get the fuck out of here.
What was his superpower? The ability to be too afraid to go on airplanes?
The ability to pity fools.
The strongest neck in the world to hold up all that jewelry?
Yeah, no. He was one of those few people who could rock the van, and so the Punisher, to me, was always a guy who just really knew good quality vehicles.
Well, okay, so, but going back to my original point, what is the correlation between the guys that have the American flag with a blue line through it, and Calvin peeing on Obama, and ISIS Hunter, and then Punisher?
That's because Punisher,
don't tread on me.
The Punisher is basically if Guns was a human being.
Yeah,
okay.
That's the Punisher.
The Punisher.
Right. So of course they love that guy.
The Punisher is the beta version of John Wick. That's only with like slightly more motivation because the Punisher's wife and child were killed, and John Wick just had a dog.
Just a dog. Come on. The thing about the Punisher is I've always liked him as one of the best superheroes because he's the only realistic superhero. Because guns are real.
But, yeah. I mean, so
and
Batman,
superpowers are not.
Yeah, right.
Batman. But Batman's a billionaire. He can buy gadgets and shit. Punisher's like, guns? Let's do this.
Billionaires are real too. But okay.
But they don't care about crime. They commit crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
White collar crimes. If Bruce Wayne was a real person, he would have just like drained the Wayne Corporation's retirement funds and declared bankruptcy.
Shift everything to the Bahamas and just outsource it all.
You have a series of Swiss bat accounts.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but it does suck when a group of shitty people adopt a thing you liked and uses their thing because then you're like,
Yeah, totally.
I'm not going to explain this to people when I'm out in public that I'm not a bootlicker.
Like, I bet there was a moment in time before the UFC blew up big where Tap Out was a pretty cool shirt to wear.
It actually was when I was like a freshman in high school, like on the wrestling team.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, wrestlers would wear Tap Out gear, and people were like, no one knows what this is. It means a submission. Like, they don't even know what the UFC is.
Right, exactly.
And it was really cool. But then, like, you know, dudes that talk in movie theaters started wearing them. So that was the end of that.
That's about when they became sparkly, I think.
Yeah, and they have a big old bedazzled tiger on them. Like, what is this? What? Why?
I like that for a while, when MMA was still somewhat burgeoning, there was a whole group of people who would wear tap-out gear with absolutely no knowledge of MMA.
Oh, yeah.
That was my favorite part, because you would see them and start talking. You'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, sweet. Because that was back when it was fringe. You know, I loved MMA in high school and college, back when nobody knew what it was. And I would be like, oh, my God, that guy's wearing a shirt. And I'd go up and I'd be like, aren't you so excited about this Lyoto Machida guy? What is the chances that a karate guy would do well in MMA? And they'd be like, nerd! Yeah, they'd look at me like, what's a Machida?
We call that the Hot Topic effect.
Yeah
exactly. Absolutely.
No, yeah, I was just like, lo siento.
Yeah. I always, you remember Affliction was another big shirt brand,
right,
and those were the ones that were like sparkly
after,
and crazy.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do a line of shirts called Affection, and it would be like panda bears and unicorns, but it'd be so decorative that you wouldn't be able to quite tell.
Dude,
and see if guys would buy and wear those.
I was in Las Vegas, and I passed by the Affliction store. There's still an Affliction store in Las Vegas.
Wow. Of course
there
is.
It is like being teleported to 2002. It's like Guy Fieri's working the register. It's ridiculous. That's always been a thing, though. People wearing shirts they don't know. I mean, that's been the thing with bands forever.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen a guy wearing a, I don't know, Misfits t-shirt and has no idea? Fuck, I saw a guy in a Ryan Shores t-shirt last week.
Oh,
I told
right.
you about that. I said, this guy, he's wearing my Fist logo shirt. I'm like, holy shit, a fucking fan. And I walked up, I'm like, hey. And he just kind of like looked back at me weird. I'm like, nice shirt, buddy. He like thumbs at my face. He's like, can I help you? I'm like, really like your shirt. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend had it lying around. I just fit me. I'm like, see you later.
That's hilarious.
It was wildly embarrassing, but I'm also like, I don't think your girl. If you, I don't think your girlfriend's that size.
Yeah.
I think someone's banging your girlfriend who's a big fan of mine.
By the way, if you think about it, Ryan, that's actually almost more flattering, right? Because think about it. One is, hey, this is a guy who came to my show and therefore bought a shirt and likes me. And the other is, my brand has become so ubiquitous that people who have no idea what it is are now wearing it.
Yeah,
you're now the tap out of comedians.
Laugh out.
Yeah, I actually think if you are wearing a tap out shirt, by law, at any point, you have to be ready to grapple. Like, you have to have somebody who's ready to jump up on you. I actually remember in college, when the UFC was doing a promotion, they came by and they were giving out tap out shirts.
Yeah.
And I legitimately did not want one because I was like, I feel like I'm misrepresenting myself. And I was like, yeah, I'm a striker and I do some judo and stuff, but I wouldn't know what the fuck to do on the ground. Like, that would be really misrepresented if I just walked around with a tap out shirt. And then you just see
Bobby.
And then you see dudes just with spiky hair who are like, this is gonna look great on me.
Hey, so Bobby, I got a little bone to pick with you, sir.
Ooh.
Regarding last week's episode, we covered a topic you should never sleep with anyone you work with or live next to.
Yep.
And I admitted on the air that, like, I had slept with my sophomore year neighbor in college. And Bobby just smugly was like, oh, amateur. I would never do that. Oh, never. Bobby,
yes.
I got a call from your wife after she listened to the episode.
She was pissed out talking about banging that random girl, by the way.
When you first hooked up with your wife, she lived three doors down from you, motherfucker.
Absolutely true.
But then he followed through and married her.
No. And very true, very valid criticism. However, let me give you some of the details on this. So indeed,
oh yeah,
my wife and I were living in the same condo complex downtown. She did live a couple doors down, and this was when I was single, and I was also not looking for a relationship. I was very much actively.
These are all good reasons to not bang a neighbor.
100%, 100%. And at the time, I very much did have a no banging the neighbor policy, which I had talked about. The reason I made an exception for the woman who is now my wife was because she was moving out in 6 weeks. So she was about ready to move out. She had just purchased a home. This wasn't like I'm thinking about moving out. They had just bought a house.
Okay.
And she was getting ready to leave. And so I was like, all right, well, this doesn't really count because
I can still fall through an escrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those 6 weeks feels like a lot of time for stuff to go wrong.
But I was like, okay, well, this will be a thing. And by the way, I would like to comment that this is also something that I did that I advise young men who are single to do, which is, a lot of people, when they're single, they're like, all right, I'm in my single mode, and now I'm in my non-single mode. At least that's how it went for me. I was like, all right, I just want to date around and stuff. And then later when I was like, okay, I'm ready to settle down, a lot of guys will just be like, I'm ready to settle down. Whoever I'm dating now is the person I'm going to marry.
Oh,
I have met numerous people who have done this, and almost every single one ends in divorce. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
It's just a bad idea. And the problem is, I think Adam Carolla has said this before, women find the right guy and guys find the right time. Right. And so the problem is, as a guy, you go, OK, this is my settling down time. Who am I with? Great. Right. The one thing that I did is I had dated my wife a few years before. Again, briefly, we had dated a little bit and then broken up. And I just went back essentially in my Rolodex and I was like, which of the women that I've met in my entire life would I actually like to marry? Like, which is the one that I'm serious about settling down with? And then just went back and called her up.
Yeah.
So instead of being like,
I really wanted that story to be like, okay, first one said no, second one said no, third one.
No, I was actually dating somebody at the time, and I realized, like, hey, I'm kind of into settling down. And I'm like, I like this person, she's great and all, but just is not the person I would settle down with. And so therefore, you know, let me end this and go back and find the person that would be more compatible with a long-term partner.
Time out. How did that breakup go?
I was going to say, I could see Bobby being like, hey, I brought you here because I decided I'm ready to get married.
To someone
just
else.
Not to you.
Yeah, exactly. How did that breakup go?
There's someone that I banged that like fucking 3 years ago, and I'm going to go look up and see what she's doing.
Well,
later, loser.
I'll tell you, it was somewhat easier because at the time I was getting put on a long-term project that was out in the desert, so I was essentially moving out of downtown and moving kind of out into the boondocks for 6 months or so. So it was like kind of an easy transition.
Did you like live in a sand igloo or something?
Yeah, I did. At the time, I stayed in a hay bale house for a while, but I basically said to her, like, listen, I have to go out for work. This is an important part of my career. I can't just skip it. And I'm not going to be within the city limits for the next 6 months. Like, this just can't work out.
You keep losing weight and I'm tired of it.
Actually, that did become a problem. She went from quite heavy to quite unheavy, and it was just unacceptable.
Your wife is rail thin.
Yes.
I know. I know, it's hard. My wife, I keep trying to like plump her up. Like when she's, I'll just like sneak cream into her mouth while she's sleeping. But no, she does too much jujitsu. She has like an 8-pack. It's annoying.
So my buddy, I got a little quick story for you. My buddy, Carlos, I'm renting a room to him right now, as you know.
Yeah.
And this dude, he works out constantly. That's like his thing. He goes to the gym sometimes twice a day. It's like his obsession, which is a great obsession to have. But there's this girl at the gym who apparently him and her have been flirting a bunch and they're sweet on each other, but he's never found the right time to like pull the trigger. And she's smoking. She's an Instagram model. And when I say that, like the guy with like 100,000 followers and shit, like legit.
Right.
Can I just ask real quick before, I know you're going to continue the story, but I'm not an Instagram guy. What the fuck is that? Do people not know about porn? Like, do people not know that they can just look up porn? They don't have to see kind of cute girl in a spandex somewhere in front of a mirror at a gym. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I think the attraction for Instagram is that you can interact with them.
Right.
You can interact with porn stars too. Like, you can send them direct messages and stuff too. I mean, I don't want to blow up anyone's world. Half of them are essentially high-paid escorts as well. They have what they're called, like, fan meets, where you can pay $3,000 to go bang a porn star. So like,
but there's still the stigma with porn. Like that's the same reason guys would go to Hooters that won't go to strip clubs.
Right there it is. You can look at it all day while you're at work and not have the need to constantly run to the bathroom to jack off. Every
that's 31 creepier.
Seconds.
That's way creepier.
I don't disagree.
Absolutely. Somebody's gonna go watch porn for 30 minutes and go beat off in their bedroom. It doesn't bother anybody else. But if the guy next to you is scanning like big butt Instagrams all day long, it's gonna be annoying. I'm so mystified by this because I always thought, in this age of modern day porn that's available to everybody in the palm of their hands, no matter what, you can get a hold of it. I always thought the idea of like, I don't know, like those half skin mags or like guys with Sears catalogs, like they would go away. And it just seems to have enhanced and I cannot understand it.
Well, what's also weird is like the people that follow a certain girl who every picture is a picture of her butt.
Right.
It's like, well, that's the same butt as last time.
Same butt. Same butt. And it's covered, right? It's got like spandex or something, but it's still covered. And like you could go watch a girl who's arguably hotter have sex or be naked or do whatever and watch 1,000 of them on any website on the same device. You sound like you have to go buy a different magazine. This is the same device.
I'm gonna go with Dave on this. The Hooters versus strip club analogy is perfect.
I am perplexed.
Also, Bobby, we live in an age where we're at the pinnacle of science, obviously. Yes. It keeps getting better and better. All the information is available to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
And there are more people now that think the Earth is flat than have ever been.
That's true. The world is a fucking anomaly.
I have no idea.
You bring up two anomalies that I think completely confuse my brain as to the modern world. If you were to ask 12-year-old Bobby, if you were to set up the scenario of what 2019 would look like and ask him, I'd be like, sweet, get rid of people jerking off to girls in bras and no more flat earth. But now...
Yep, more than ever. Just fucking add some cyanide to the flavor aid and let's just bail. We don't belong here anymore.
Sorry to interrupt your story, Ryan. Please continue.
No worries. So anyways, he's been talking about this girl constantly. He's like, I never have a way in, you know? I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. So anyways, I'm going out to dinner with the Grubesmeister, and he's like, where are you guys going to eat? I'm like, place called Dirty Birds. I think it's a wings place. He goes, oh my God, the one in College Grove? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, that's where she works. Can I go with you? I'm like, yeah, man, just jump in. So we go. She's there. You know, she lays a big hug on him, you know. And this is kind of a fucked up thing I did. During the course of the meal, I tell Carlos, I'm like, you know what would really impress her? If you picked up the chick. And he went for it. I was half kidding. He's like,
that
is a good idea. I'm like, fucking really? I mean, yeah, of course it is. It's a fantastic idea. So anyways.
It'd be even better if you just handed me 10 bucks too to be like real big spender.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways.
You should have followed that with like, but then don't tip her because you have to neg this woman.
So anyway, yeah, just under tip, right, my love, my company, a date at a later time. My phone number is your tip. So anyways, he's like, okay, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick up the check. But in return, when I do it, you have to like really fight me for it. Like, I want to insist. I want to make sure let me really bit
throw
you.
Some punches, you know.
Yeah. Actually, could you use the line, Carlos, no, you already have to pay too much on those Ferrari payments. There's no way you can cover this bill
as well.
See,
I was going to go there with Carlos, no, you already pay so much in child support.
So no, the line that I came up with was not too dissimilar from that. I'm like, no, you know what I'm gonna say? I'm gonna go, come on, man, you always pay.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, you paid the last three times, something. So anyway, and and it really waved me off, you know? So anyways, we're eating dinner. At one point, I get a phone call. I take it outside, and apparently when I was gone, that's when she drops the check. So Groom's sitting there, who was not prepared to do this. So,
but he was in the exact same conversation, right? It wasn't like you guys had a secret sidebar.
He might be a little autistic, though. Yeah. The jury's still out on that.
He has the highest functioning autism. So anyways, what happens is they drop the check. John could have done this adequately if he was like had enough preparation, but the plan was for me to do it. She drops the check. He was taken off the card, and apparently, in like the biggest like dopey voice ever went, he was like, again, like just oversold it. It was just apparently the worst bad acting ever, and she like just gave him each a look like, yeah, just took the check with her.
Made it so much worse than just saying nothing at all.
Yep.
He should have just been like, you know, I always pay. I'm the one that always pays. Me.
So I come back. He's like, she came, man. I'm like, good for you. Oh, you mean with the check? So anyways, he's like, apparently she didn't even look at who was paying. She just like grabbed it absentmindedly. I felt terrible for him.
You remember, it would be
not
great.
Enough to offer any kind of compensation, though.
It'd be great if this was actually Carlos's plan, where he's like, they come up with this plan together, and he hears Ryan's idea. He's like, yeah, exactly. And then we'll do it this way. And then she comes and puts down the check, and Ryan goes, hey, man, you always pay. Let me get this. And he goes, yeah, okay.
I was worried about that.
That's hilarious. Now
I'm holding all the cards. I'm like, oh, hey, man, no, that was my line because you're trying to impress this chick. Don't do that to me. Like, what do I have to lose by saying that? I'm like, I'm going halvesies at best, motherfucker.
I love this bag. It's almost like sitting down at the Princess Bride table and one of the drinks is poison. You don't know which.
Dude, now, if he does go on a date with her, first order of business, get her to promote this podcast on her Instagram page.
Oh, yeah.
Before anything goes bad, before things go south.
Get a stretchy, like, little boy shorts that she can wear that says Degenerate Podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay for those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of having a lot of followers, dude, there's this this rather new-ish comic that is quite clearly paying for followers on his social media, which that's a thing that I've tried to advise people in all fields not to do. Like, unless you go on TV or something, or you have a major thing, all of a sudden if you have like a jump of 500% followers overnight, it's kind of obvious to everyone what you did.
It better because your friend hooked up with an Instagram model and she promoted you. That's
right,
the only legitimate.
So do you think this is so that they can sell ad revenue, or is this because they want the acclaim? Like, is this
both.
A financial?
Acclaim.
Definitely both.
Acclaim.
Well, but if it's both, here's my question for the financial part. Don't you think whoever is doing search engine optimization, and because I know these guys, I went to college with a lot of these guys, they're pretty fucking sharp. Like, they know these things. They know
that's
the tricks a lot better than the fucking the comedian who doesn't
that's
know
that's why I said acclaim, because you can't sell ad revenue
no,
if you pay your followers.
No, but what you can
all
do,
all your followers are going to be inactive profiles.
Yeah,
of the company.
Right, but it still can turn financial, because that's the Hollywood model now, is like, how many followers do you have?
Yeah, but
they're not going to check your followers. They're just going to look at your account.
But the guys who, so I guess what I'm saying is, if you're trying to sell ads directly, and I know the guys who kind of run these things or are involved in it, they can tell when people have fake followers. Like Ryan said, they can tell inactive accounts. They have all these ways to tell bots and stuff like that. So it doesn't give them more money in that sense. If what you're saying is it'll help you get a few spots in a club, fine, I'll buy that. If it's trying to like actually boost up your ad revenue, from what I understand, is it actually downgrades you, because they don't just look at it and say, okay, you bought 2,000 followers and go, we'll subtract 2,000. They go, you bought 2,000 followers. We're not interested in purchasing it, even if you have 50,000 legitimate followers.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, if I catch somebody that like cheating like that, I'm just going to call it cheating. For me, I move them into the fraud category in my mind. Whether they're a comic, a musician, a photographer, whatever, an artist, I'm just like, oh, You're just someone that pays for a delusion of who you are. I put you in the you're not a real thing category.
And was this Twitter or was this Facebook?
It was Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Mm. And all of a sudden it was like 600 followers after, you know, a few years of doing open mics.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden he had like 2,900 overnight. I'm like, okay.
Because this happens in podcasts too. People
and
pay,
it's still growing by like 100 a day. I'm like, nah.
People will pay to get someone to do more downloads to try and either fool advertisers or make themselves seem bigger. But my question to them is always, what's your fucking end game, man? Because as somebody who's been cultivating podcasts for the past 7 years and trying to build them up, one is you want people to actually listen to your podcast. Like if you're trying to get people to buy something or just listen to what you're saying, you need actual ears. The fact that you have a couple of extra downloads on your bars doesn't really mean anything, and most advertisers know that. Secondarily, do you keep those indefinitely? Do you have to pay a subscription fee? Like, how does that work? Because what's going to happen when you all of a sudden drop 2,000 followers? Doesn't that look way worse than when you gain 2,000 followers?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's more about the Hollywood shit. Because now, like I said, this is just, you can get a pitch meeting. You can get a walk-on role. You can get a job. You can get writing, all this stuff. Because what they look at is how many followers do you have?
Well, also, though, I think
and if you can get a foot in the door by having a bunch of followers, this is what they're thinking, I would imagine.
Yeah,
if I get in there, I can do it.
The main spot is to tell their peers, like, look how many followers I have.
Yeah, okay.
I guess I'm more popular than you guys that are all doing
and see,
this.
I'm torn on that too, because like I don't have shit for followers. Mm-hmm. I don't do a good job trying to cultivate, but I'm always like, I need more followers. But then I have friends who have like over 100,000 followers on Twitter. They're no better off than I am.
No,
we all know a comic who's got like, he literally has millions of YouTube views, and he's not ahead of us at all.
No, you know what? And that's the thing.
So what's the point?
That's the thing that I was going to tell you when you're like, that's the Hollywood model. I believe that to be a myth or at least expired. I know that that was a thing like in 2009, 2010. But the people that can pay for boosted posts and pay for followers and do that, decision makers know that. Like Bobby said, they're sharp people. So it doesn't matter that someone has 100,000 followers anymore because they could have very, very easily sunk some money into doing so. Those are not real people.
Well, here's the dumb part of this. Money actually can get you the legitimate exposure that you want. It won't give you as many instant followers, but it can still help. So what I do is, if I have like a really good episode of Science Faction, I will promote it. I will pay to have a promoted ad, and it'll go see 100,000 people. And out of those,
it's a little different.
Yeah, out of those, maybe 100 people will click on, like it, and maybe out of those 100 people, I'll get an extra 50 people who are now subscribers and who will listen to every single episode. I have now used that money. I could have gone and bought a bunch of downloads, which people do for podcasts, and yes, my numbers would have artificially gone up.
Or you could have gone to Black Angus.
Yeah, Black Angus.
Ooh, bad call with the followers.
But instead,
you could have gotten, hold on, two appetizers, a Razorback margarita,
and an angry black family. No. But instead, what I've done is I've gotten 50 legitimate subscribers and maybe a couple hundred extra legitimate downloads that are now listening to my podcast, so I boosted my actual audience, right? So you are still using money, and some people might think that's unfair or whatever, but you are still technically using that money. You're just building your actual audience. If you do that slowly enough, which I've done over the years, you build up a following of people who are listening to the products you're making, which ideally, if you're an artist in some form or a creator, that's what you want, right? You want people to be reading your tweets or listening to your podcast.
Dude, building an audience in entertainment is the hardest fucking thing.
Like,
we all know that. I was watching a Facebook conversation between a friend of mine and a bunch of his friends. He's a comic, and he was basically just asking point blank, listen, you guys, here's a video of mine. Give me some honest feedback. I'm trying to get, trying to hone my stuff, trying to be better. Give me honest feedback. And so then it went on and on and on. And one of his friends, who obviously is not a comic, is like, you should just make a bunch of online content, put it out there, and you'll get followers.
Okay.
But he legitimately thought that was real advice. Like, that's the same time, like, when you go back home and your aunt is like, oh, just go on Conan.
Yeah, you should get a TV show.
Just go on Conan.
But it does, that does pay off in the end. It's a fucking grind, but it works.
But the point is, everybody does that.
Yeah.
Like, that's step one.
No. But what I mean is doing it long and hard the right way, right? So doing it forever and grinding out. Ryan, you know this because now you're finally at a position where, and you started where the rest of us started, open mics, right? And then now you're at a position where people will come to a show to see you personally.
Right.
So that's building an audience. I had that experience recently with Nerd Night where, after doing Science Faction, like I said, for like 7 years now,
Came there just to beat him up.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking to this, you stupid nerd.
We got to cap how many times he says Science Faction per episode in here. I think it's getting out of hand.
I got like half a dozen people or whatever showing up to that just to see me. Not a lot. Nothing blowing away. I'm not getting 2,000 Instagram followers. But you know what? It feels good to have produced an audience by consistently putting out a product.
You know what it is for me is this guy's got family money. And it always kind of sucks, even though there's nothing technically wrong with it. Competing with someone who's got money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that there's a guy that we all know. Let's call him Steve because that's his fucking name. He is a now like headliner around the country, but he started off by using his family money to pay to fly himself to gigs where he'd work for free. You know, but he get to say on his boosted social medias, on tour right now, 18 cities, you know, yeah. And people are like, wow, he's really blowing up. It's like, no, he's using his parents' money to do this, you know, and that's what we're competing with. And, you know, it's a bummer. So when you're competing with someone, it's the smugness they have about it. When they know that every post they sunk money into it, you know, and they it like, yep, got as many followers as you, Ryan. You've been in it, what, 9 years? And like, you paid for it, you motherfucker. Yeah. Shut up. You're not the same as me.
Yeah.
You're not the same as me.
You know who's got a really good model for building a following? The San Diego March for Science.
Oh! Dude, that was great. We had a great fan that was like trolling them. If you guys didn't hear a previous episode, I had a very interesting experience with them where they basically had no idea what they were doing, didn't want me like last year. They finally accepted me to come in. I went in. I thought I had some shit that was like ready to really help them out. They didn't have a venue. They didn't have a location. They didn't have events. They didn't have anything. Organized all this stuff, put together a marketing plan, and then got the call that this was their quote. We check people's social media profiles to see if there's anything that's too offensive for us. And usually there's one or two people who might have a problem. This time, everybody was offended. Pause. And angry. And then basically said, go fuck yourself. And I was like, did you guys find a venue or a marketing plan or anything? Yeah, they're like, no. And I was like, how offensive was I that you desperately
need... We would rather not have this event than deal with you.
You desperately need me. I'm doing exactly what you need to make this successful. It almost certainly won't be successful without me. And I'm doing it for free. And you just fired me.
Wow.
And despite that, so Ryan trolled them a little bit. And some of our fans came this week and did the same. And let me just tell you, thank you. That was awesome.
I think she, Doreen, I believe her name was, she said, have you guys found a venue yet? By the way, your website still says 2018. and they were like, they had some half-assed response. Like, yeah, there's been a few hiccups. Like, why is it still say 2018? What hiccup is preventing you from hitting the edit profile button?
There's hiccups, and then there's choking to death.
Yeah. And then after that, they clearly went, oh no! And they changed the banner. It wasn't even just like the profile, it was their banner page. They changed the banner from 2018 to 2019, but they forgot to change the about, which still gives the date of 2018.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Last thing before we get out of here, guys. Have you ever met someone where you like, or seen someone that no one else remembers years down the line, to the point you're like, did I imagine that motherfucker? Like, why can't I find someone who saw this weird anomaly?
Absolutely.
I think the one that we talked about before with me was the guy who has a vision of a building where they only do comedies. Very new idea. That was one of them. But like, this guy, just thought of recently, when I first started stand-up, there was a guy that went by the name of Bo Bald Eagle Clark. And this guy,
was he an MMA fighter? Why did he need a nickname?
I would guess WWE fighter.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd like to be. Okay, so this guy, in the era of this is 2009, 2010, and in the era of Larry the Cable Guy, who was arguably the highest earning comic during those years, this guy would just go up and be Larry the Cable Guy, but not expect anyone to put it together. So this guy would go up in full camo and like one of those...
You're wearing a ghillie suit. Just sneak on stage.
I've been here the whole time. His version of the ghillie suit is actually like the sign for the comedy club that he just wears in front of him. And when they announce his name, he just slowly puts it down.
So he would go on stage. And this is also the era of like the last shred of that post 9/11, like blind patriotism. Mm. If you mention America, everyone is supposed to clap, you know, no matter who you are. So he was riding high on that. So this guy would go on stage and in a fake accent, which I know is fake because I hung out with him a couple times after shows. He was from California. He would go up and do a Larry the Cable Guy impression. Wow. And he would go up there and but he wouldn't just boost Larry the Cable Guy's stuff.
He used Carlos Mencia's. Got your back, bitch.
So arguably Ari Shaffir's. Yeah. So anyways, he'd go up and instead of saying get her done, he had another catchphrase, which was, we should nuke him. What's up, y'all? Hey, you know I don't like terrorists. And here's what I think we should do. We should nuke them. Pause for laughs.
And if it was better than... What if it was actually like, instead of get her done, it was like, make her finish. Like,
So this guy would seriously, he'd go up, and the entire audience and all the comics in the back would be perplexed, because again, Larry the Cable Guy was currently the biggest comedian on the planet. Like, oh my God, this guy's just doing Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, you're not ripping off some like talented headliner that nobody knows from Boise, you know? Like, you're ripping off the top guy.
Yeah, and so he would go up there, and his joke, seriously, here's one of his jokes. You know, when I see a terrorist, I'd like to introduce him to two of my friends, Smith and Wesson. Nuke him. I'm like, we're like, wow. So anyways, I was like, just recently, I thought of this guy for the first time ever. Of course he's gone. And I'm like, hey guys, remember Bo Bald Eagle Clark? And people are like, nah, don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, nah, come on. All camo. He'd bring out an acoustic sometimes and sing a song called Hey Mr. Taliban, Kiss My Ass. Remember that guy? No, come on, man. No, come. You remember the guy? And I'm talking to everybody. Everybody from that era that I could possibly scrape together. And there's not many, because no one lasts in comedy for more than three fucking years. So I'm like, Dave is the only guy that I can think of right now that was around when I was first starting. I'm like, Dave, you know Bald Eagle Clark? He'd be like, nope. Nope, doesn't ring a bell. I'm like, I could not have been imagining this guy.
Slow zoom in on Ryan's face as he's like, it was me the whole time.
And then you,
Tyler Durden.
And then you zoom back out, and I'm wearing all camo. Like, no. So, anyways, I searched endlessly for this guy, and I finally found him online.
He's real.
He's real. He stopped doing comedy. I think looks to be about 2012 is when the last time he did stand up. And I finally found a Facebook that's been abandoned for years, but I learned a little bit about this guy. And oh, what a big surprise! He's wildly homophobic. So this is like there's only two posts in the entirety of his presence on social media.
What's the date on this one?
This is June 3rd, 2012.
Okay.
Just read a story, and you'll see that a sicko queer gay porn star hates conservatives and suggested he wants to kick their asses by sending them his boyfriend's foot. I think it's when that serial killer in Paris like cut up his boyfriend and mailed parts to people. But his focus is the fact that he's gay, not the fact that he killed someone and dismembered them as mailing body parts. He's a sicko queer gay. That's the issue. Let's see. He sent the Democrats his boyfriend's hand to suggest he loves them and wants to give them all a hand job. I bet that's what he means by that. I bet the Democrats hope they find him before the conservatives do, because it'll be the last happy ending that sicko queer will have this year. This story makes me even more proud to be a conservative.
Oh, nuke him!
Nuke him! So anyways, that was the guy that I swear to God, I thought I made up my own mind. I'm so glad to know he exists. Well, not really.
I mean, I kind of think that now we have an opening to take over his bit. If he's already stealing Larry the Cable Guy's bit, and he's apparently abandoned it, we might as well just take it over.
Pick up the mantle?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Nukem!
Cosby was innocent.
Yeah, time's passing by. Oh, that's time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.